Well, on Sunday nights this year, we've been looking at how we can make further progress in the victory that we have as Christians in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because all through the New Testament, we learn that as long as we are in this world, we will face enemies that fight against our very souls. And even though those enemies cannot destroy us, we know that, yet those enemies can still discourage us, and they often do. And sometimes even those enemies can derail us in our walk with God so that we become much like the Laodicean church, in which we've lost any or all usefulness for Him in this world. We're neither hot nor cold. We neither refresh nor restore. We're just lukewarm. And certainly that is what the enemies of our soul want to do. They want to sift us so that we are ineffective in our walk, in our service for the Lord. And of course, we've been considering three main enemies that we face. And even though these are distinct enemies, they are all really interrelated. I think you've seen that already as we've looked at the world and the flesh and how the world is made up of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And so even our flesh and the world is connected. And of course, those two are connected to the devil himself, which is the third and certainly the primary enemy to our souls, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Well, currently we're looking at how we can have greater progress in our victory over the enemy of our flesh. And like all our enemies, we cannot achieve any victory on our own. Sometimes we feel like we can. Sometimes we feel like we got this in our Christian walk. You know, we've been to church most of our life. We've been through the Bible many times if we're going through Take 20 or other Bible reading, and we feel like we've got a handle on this Christian life. But the fact is, once you think you have a handle on this Christian life, you've lost the handle to this Christian life. You've lost what it really means. Because it means that we are to depend on the Lord. We walk daily in dependence on the Lord. Step by step, moment by moment, day by day, hour by hour, through dependence on the Lord and through dwelling with the Spirit, that is how we can achieve victory. And so we need to keep those things in mind. That is the basis. That is the foundation for victory over not just the world, but even our own flesh. But in addition to this, as we depend on the Lord, as we dwell with the Spirit, we're not to be passive in this battle. I think sometimes when you see the pendulum swing from you know, just depending on the Lord, that you know we don't have to do anything in this battle, all the way to depending on ourselves and not looking to the Lord for help. We need to maintain that balance as we look to the Lord, as we dwell with the Spirit, we also pursue after the battle that is before us. We need to not be passive in the battles that we face every single day. That's one of the reasons why the Apostle Paul could say, I fought a good fight. You know, he didn't just fight the good fight alone by himself. He fought the good fight depending on the Lord and dwelling with the Spirit, yet he still fought the good fight of faith. You see, it's through the Spirit that the Lord himself enables us to fight these battles with him and through him. So we've already looked at three different things that we need to do actively to pursue this victory. So as you depend on the Lord, as you dwell with the Spirit, you also need to learn to deny your flesh. We have looked at that. We need to deny our flesh more and more on a daily basis. That's what we learned from Romans 13:14. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, one of the things is that these are not steps in our progress of victory. So it's not like step one is to deny your flesh. Step two is to do this other thing. Step three is to do this other thing. No, we need to learn all of it at the same time. So we need to learn to deny our flesh. But then also, as we considered last Sunday night, you need to learn to detest your flesh. And that is to detest it with a holy hate. A holy hate. But we're not just to detest our flesh. You're also, according to Jude 23, to be hating even the garment that is spotted by the flesh. Not just the flesh, but even those things that pertain to the flesh. And this means that there are different kinds of what you can call garments that we might use over our fallen flesh. We're not talking about our physical bodies. We're talking about our spiritual fallen nature. There are different kinds of garments that we might use to cover up our flesh, to cover up and hide the lusts of our flesh. There are other kinds of garments that we might use to comfort or harbor the lusts of our flesh so that we stay comfortable in the status quo of our life. We don't really want to deal with our lusts in the way that they really need to be dealt with to overcome them. Or maybe sometimes we have garments that even contribute to or even bring honor to the lusts of our flesh. And so these are the garments that are spotted by our flesh, and we need to detest and hate even those things, even if they're not sinful in and of themselves, because they will pose a danger to us because they are spotted and contaminated by the flesh. We will never grow in victory over the flesh when these garments that are spotted by the flesh stay on us. As Matthew Henry once put it, we need to avoid all that leads to sin or all that looks like sin. All the garments that are spotted by the flesh. Avoid all that leads to sin or that looks like sin. Well, that leads us to another way, and even a third way. Again, not a third step, but just another third way to fight against our flesh. And this is what we find in Ephesians chapter 4. So open your Bibles there with me if you're not there already. But Ephesians chapter 4, and the passage that we'll consider is verses 17 through verse 32. And I'd like to read these verses, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 32, where Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to us, to Christians, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Now remember, the church in Ephesus is primarily a Gentile church. There is a Jewish component, but most of them would be Gentiles. And he says, you are not to walk as other Gentiles, your compatriots, your neighbors, the people that you brush shoulders with in the marketplace on a daily basis. You are not to walk as other Gentiles walk. And how do they walk? How did you used to walk? In the vanity of your mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But, Paul says, you, Christian, church, you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, work, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, building up, that it may minister grace, that it might give grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. From these verses, we can see that for greater progress and victory over your flesh, what do you need to do? Verse 22, and title of the message, you need to put off the old man. You need to put off the old man. Because that old man is just another way to describe the flesh. That second enemy of your soul as a Christian. And so again, as you depend on the Lord, and as you dwell with His Spirit daily, not only do you need to learn to deny your flesh and detest your flesh, you also need to learn to discard your flesh. That is, to put off your old man. Put off your flesh. But that's not where it stops. That's not where it ends. Because then, verse 24, you need to replace the old man and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That new creation that we all have in Christ. That new creation that enables us to walk in newness of life through the gospel. And we need to do this because of what we first find in these verses that we just read, and that is the elements that we need to discard. The elements that we need to discard. And those are the elements of our flesh, again, which Paul puts in terms of the way the Gentiles walk. This is what we read there in verses 17 through 19. The way the Gentiles walk is the way of the flesh. The way the Gentiles walk is the way of the old man. The way that the Gentiles walk is the way that we are to put off. Now, as you look at the way the Gentiles walk here, it is familiar because it is consistent with the way the flesh is described in the rest of the New Testament. At the very beginning of this series on dealing with our flesh, we looked through the Gospel of John at all of, you know, what the flesh, our fallen flesh, our spiritual flesh is like apart from God. And you can see a parallel between what John teaches us through Christ's teaching in John, but also we have it here in what Paul teaches. And so if you just look at these verses briefly, to walk in the vanity of your mind means that you are living in spiritual depravity. That is the flesh. It's spiritually depraved. Because sin affects even the way that you think, so that you waste your mind. That's what vanity means. You waste your mind by thinking on worthless things. And what's the counterpart of that? Instead of thinking on worthless things, Paul also talks about you're to think on these things, things that are lovely and good report and all of those things, the things about the gospel. So to walk in the vanity of your mind means that you're living in spiritual depravity. That's your flesh. Verse 18, to walk having your understanding darkened, again, means that you are living in spiritual darkness and are walking in darkness of this world. And again, we know that the world is a dark place because men love darkness rather than light. And the Lord Jesus came as the light of this world to cast his light into the darkness of this world. But if you're walking according to your flesh, you're living in spiritual darkness. Also there in verse 18, to walk being alienated from the life of God means that you're living spiritually distant. There's a spiritual distance between you and God and his life. And that's the way we're all born into this world. We're not born with a relationship with God in that we are now his, you know, redeemed children. We are born distant from him. There's that spiritual chasm that must be bridged by the gospel, by the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is the way of the flesh. Also there in verse 18, to walk in the blindness of your heart means that you are living in a spiritually disabled way. There's a spiritual disability. You're blind, spiritually blind. And that's the thing, you don't even know it, right? You don't even know it. In fact, this spiritual blindness means that you will be increasingly hardened to the light and grace of God if you do not respond to the light and the grace that God gives you. If you remember, this was one of the issues that the Laodicean church was experiencing there in the book of Revelation, right? You know, they thought they were rich. They thought they had all of these things. And yet Jesus himself says that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And then he says you need to anoint your eyes with eye salve because you don't even see your problem. And that is what our flesh is like. It's a spiritual disability, blindness of your heart. Then in verse 19, to walk being past feeling means that you're even living spiritually dead. There's a spiritual death in you. The idea of being past feeling has the idea of a callus that grows, not just on your body, not just on your fingers or on your feet, but a callus that grows on your heart to the point where you cannot feel anything with the sense that God gave you. You know, those who play the guitar. Remember, Brother Art played the guitar a couple weeks ago for us, and he hadn't played for a significant amount of time as he did that Sunday, and he said, yes, his fingers were feeling it because those calluses had kind of started to go away. But as you build up those calluses, you don't feel it so much, and you can play even more. But that's what can happen to a sinner's heart. That's what can happen to us as well. So again, all of these things are descriptions of the flesh. And all of these descriptions that we find here in Ephesians, we've seen elsewhere, because all of these things make up the old man that you and I are to put off and discard if we want to have victory over our flesh. Again, as Paul puts it there in verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to the church. In other words, walking according to your old fallen flesh is neither what Jesus taught, nor is it what the gospel of Christ is all about. Jesus came to change you. Jesus came to restore you. Jesus came to recreate you. Jesus came so that you will not walk according to those former ways, but into these new and living ways. Again, the way of Christ is vastly different than the way of the flesh and the way of the Gentiles, and as we mentioned earlier, even the way of the world. I like what Matthew Henry says about this, and he's the attribution for that quote that's on your guide. He says, "Converted Gentiles." Now, most of us, I think, would be classified there. I don't know if anybody here that would classify themselves as Jews. So converted Gentiles must not live as unconverted Gentiles do. Though they live among them, they must not live like them. So there's a crossover between the enemy of our flesh and the enemy of the world, and the enemy of the world and the enemy of our flesh. And we need to remember that there is to be a difference. Does the world see a difference in you? And that's why we need to discard these things that are mentioned here in these verses. We need to discard the elements of the flesh, all spiritual depravity, all spiritual darkness, all spiritual distance from God, all spiritual disability, and even that spiritual death that we once walked in. Because this kind of walk only leads to what we are says there in the King James in verse 19, lasciviousness. Now, what is lasciviousness? I think Paul defines lasciviousness in the very next phrase when he describes it as working all uncleanness with greediness. That's where sin always leads. You know, sometimes people think that they can dabble in lust and dabble in sin, and it's just a little thing, and it's not going to get out of hand in their life. But what does a little sin lead to? A little sin will lead to a bigger sin, and that bigger sin will lead to a greater sin. That greater sin will lead to perhaps even the greatest sins, to the point where they work all ungreediness or all uncleanness with greediness, which is lasciviousness. It's just a complete abandon to everything that is opposed to God, everything that is of the flesh, everything that is dark and depraved and distant and disabled and even dead to the Lord. This kind of walk, walking according to your flesh, is like walking along a downhill slope, right? If you've ever, you know, been on a mountain and you started kind of trying to walk down that slope, and maybe it starts kind of gradual, but it gets steeper as it goes. You know, if you just try to walk straight, what's going to happen? That gravity is going to take over, and your steps that were slow, that were methodical, that you were carefully placing step by step to make it down, eventually that gravity is going to pull you. The steepness is going to take advantage of you. Your steps are going to go a little faster and faster and faster to the point where you aren't being as sure with your step that you once were, and you're going to topple head over heels down that hill. That's where even the least bit of sin and lust will lead you, apart from God and His grace and fighting against it, fighting against that flesh, putting off that flesh as we're supposed to do. So these are the elements of the flesh that we must learn to discard if we are Christians. But then Paul adds, starting verse 21 through 24, the exhortation to discard the flesh. The exhortation to discard the old man. Let's look at those verses again, verses 21 through 24. He says, "If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." So this is kind of assumed for Christians, right? Have you heard Jesus? And have you heard about Jesus? We all can say we've heard about Jesus. We've been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. And this is what Jesus teaches. This is the doctrine of the gospel, the doctrine of Christ, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the former lifestyle, that old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust that we just looked at in those first verses. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, Paul says. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. These verses describe for us the lesson of the Lord in how to deal with our old flesh, our old walk, and our old man. So verse 22, what's the first thing we need to do? We need to put off the old man. Put off that old flesh. That you put off concerning the former conversation, that old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. To put off the old man means that you need to treat your flesh and your sins like you would an old garment. Something that is soiled and stained and dirty. It's worn and torn and worn out. It's outlived its usefulness. Now, I think it's probably safe to say that most of us, if not all of us, have a hard time letting go of things that are old and worn out. I mean, all you have to do is go to your closet. And that's something that I know that my wife and I have been talking about. We need to go through our closet because it's just kind of overflowing with stuff. Some of that stuff is old and worn out. Some of that stuff is perhaps maybe things that we don't fit in anymore for one reason or the other. Or maybe they're just something that we don't like and we don't wear it. And we have to go through the closet from time to time to get rid of those things, to cull out those things, to put off those things so we can have the things that we really do want to wear, that we perhaps need to wear. Perhaps it's time to go through our spiritual closet in our own hearts, in our own souls, to see what we need to let go, to see the things that we need to put off. You see, that's what putting off means. There are still things that you have in the closet of your soul that should have no place there. And it's time for them to be removed and discarded for good. It's time for you to take those old rags off and throw them away. Instead, what we often do with those old clothes that are in our closet is we send them to the thrift store for someone else to use. That's not the intention here. We put them off and we get rid of them. We throw them away. We burn them. And we don't even give a second thought to them. You need to put off the old man. But then you also need to put on the new man. Jump down to verse 24. Again, you put on the new man, Paul says, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So as you put off one thing, you don't just leave it so that there's nothing. You put on something different. You put on something new. You replace it with something that God himself gives to you. It means that you use the means that God has given to you in your newborn spiritual nature to grow in the righteousness and holiness that he has already given you. You put on, another way of looking at it, that Paul puts it, is Jesus Christ. You put on the nature and the traits and the character of Christ. You put on his life. You put on his holiness. You put on his love. You put on his service, like we even considered this morning. Now, it's interesting because in Colossians chapter 3, so just a book away here, in Colossians chapter 3, why don't you turn there with me? Keep your finger here in Ephesians and go to Colossians chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians 3, 8 through 10. Paul tells the Colossian church something similar. So this was a regular theme. We also see in the book of Romans. So this, again, was a common theme. But in Colossians 3, 8, Paul says to the Colossian church, "But now ye also put off." Put off. Now, what are we to put off? All these. And these correspond with that old man that he refers to there in Ephesians, the lust of the flesh. And he says, anger, put off anger and wrath and malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and you have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, the difference between what Paul says in Ephesians and what Paul says here in Colossians is that in Colossians, he tells us that we've already put off the old man and we've already put on the new man. If you recognize that there in verses 9 and 10, he says, seeing that you have put off the old man and you have put on the new man. But then in Ephesians, he tells us to keep on putting off the old man and keep on putting on the new man. So what are we to make here of the difference between these two? Well, I think probably one way to look at it is as a Christian, as you depend on the Lord, as you dwell in the Spirit, you need to make sure that you fit in the new garment that has already been given to you by the Lord. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is like a garment of righteousness that one size fits all. One size fits every single one of his people. And so once you're saved, you've put on the Lord Jesus Christ. and you dwell in Him, and He dwells in you. And God the Father looks at you through the lens of His Son. He sees His Son in you, and you are as righteous as His Son. You are justified before Him at the throne of grace. And that garment is yours. But just like whenever you go to the store to try on something, some things fit and some things don't, right? And the things that fit, you might, you know, put over here, you might put in the cart, and you say, well, I'm going to consider those, or I might even go ahead and buy those. But the things that don't fit, you're just going to leave there on, you know, put them back where you got them. You don't want to wear them. Well, that's not the way it is with Christ. His garment of righteousness is a one-size-fits-all kind of righteousness for every single one of us. But the fact is, as we look at our flesh, as we look at our own body, we don't fit, do we? We don't fit that garment yet fully. We will someday. We will fully fit that robe of righteousness in heaven. But right now, with our flesh, with our faults, with our failures, with all of those things, we don't quite fit yet. And so even though we have put on that new man, and we have put off that old man, Paul also says, keep on putting off that old man. Keep on putting on that new man so that you'll fit his garment even more. Just like a hand being put into a glove. Put off what's old, put on what's new, so that you will be fit in him. Now, once again, that can be easier said than done, right? If we head back to Ephesians chapter 4, we all know how hard it is sometimes to fit in the clothes that we have, for whatever reason. But that is also true spiritually. But here in Ephesians 4:23, Paul tells us how we can fit ourselves into this garment that we've already been given. Even the process to put off and to put on is given to us here in verse 23. He says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is how you start to fit into that garment that you've already put on in the gospel. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So this process is not a physical one. You don't have to do aerobic exercises, thank goodness, right? You don't have to do sit-ups. You don't have to do pull-ups. You don't have to do push-ups to try to fit into that garment. No, this is a spiritual exercise and even a mental one. And what is it? How do you renew the spirit of your mind? You ponder the truths of the gospel. Pondering the truths of the gospel, the truths about Christ and the new man that you are in him. These are facts, not fictions. The things that you see about Christ are yours. They belong to you. And the more you meditate on them and ponder them and think about them, what are you going to do? You're going to naturally put off the old, put on the new, so that you fit that garment even more. And these truths will renew the very spirit of your mind and soul. And so from verses 25 through 32, we find next the examples of discarding our flesh. And these examples are very relevant to each one of us. And these examples are very, very practical. And so if you look at verse 25 again, when it comes to the flesh, we need to learn to put away lying, right? Verse 25. We need to put away lying because lying belongs to which man? Lying is an old man thing. It belongs to the old man. And what do we need to learn to replace it with? To put on the truth, which belongs to the new man. Again, verse 25, wherefore putting away lying, that's putting off, speak every man truth with his neighbor, that's putting on. But how can we do this? He gives us the gospel truth right there in verse 25, for we are members one of another. Remember verse 23, through each one of these examples, we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind by pondering the truth of the gospel that is presented to us in each case. So what is the truth that we find here in verse 25? What is the gospel truth? It's the new bond that we have in Christ as Christians. The new bond. He says we are members one of another. If you are a child of God and there are other children of God, you are one in Christ. There's this new bond. So why would you lie to someone who's part of the body of Christ? Why would you lie to someone that Jesus Christ died for? Why would you lie to someone when you have a new bond with other believers? This gospel bond is what will help you fit into the garment of your new man even more. Another example, verses 26 and 27. When it comes to the flesh, we also need to learn to put away wrath, because wrath belongs to the old man. He says you can be angry, but don't sin. And don't give place to the devil. Don't let that sinful anger turn into even wrath. So instead of this wrath, we need to put that away, and we need to instead learn to put on righteous anger, or put on the righteous anger, which also belongs to the new man. Not just any anger, but righteous anger, the kind that Jesus possessed and showed in his life. How do we do this? How can we avoid and put off wrath and put on the righteous anger against sin? Again, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. You see, as we think about and ponder the gospel truths, we need to remember that there's a new beginning that we have in Jesus Christ, a new beginning. When he says, neither give place to the devil, it's a reminder that we once were children of the devil. That's who we were when we were spiritually distant and dead from God. We were children of the devil, but now we have a new beginning in Christ. We're children of the Lord, and that new gospel beginning is what will help you fit into the garment of your new man even more. Ponder the doctrine of the new beginning that you have in Christ, and that will change your wrath, and that will change your anger. When I lived and served up in Northwest Illinois, there, a Baptist church there, the couple that I stayed with, I don't even know if they're still here on this earth. I probably doubt it. But Mr. Stees was the gentleman's name, and I knew him as a godly, patient, loving, kind man. But the pastor that I was serving with, who's also their son-in-law, said, you know, Steve, you don't really know how God has changed him, Mr. Stees. He said, Mr. Stees had a terrible temper. For most of his life, he would just fly off the handle, and he was an angry, wrathful, vengeful man. Hard to imagine, huh? But when he got saved, there was a change. There was a drastic change in his heart, and it was the gospel, the new beginning. No longer was he to live for the devil. He was to live for Christ, and God changed him from that darkness to light, so that he could put off that old man, he could put on that new man, and his desire, his whole life, was to keep fitting himself into the garment that Jesus Christ himself had already given him. That is what will help us with that. Another example, in verse 28, we find, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So when it comes to the flesh, again, what do we put off? Stealing. Now, some of you may not have that problem, but there are other ways of stealing, not just in taking items, but taking others' times and taking other things that might be intangible ways. But we need to put off our stealing, and what do we need to put on? We need to put on working and laboring with your hands that which is good. One of the things that we can see even today is that idleness makes thieves, right? Idleness makes thieves, or at least makes that thievery come out. There's still thieves in their heart. I don't know if you saw on the news this last week, but there was a flash mob, I think, in San Francisco, and I think that's just one place that we've probably seen it here recently. And they say that a lot of these young people are doing this because they really have nothing else to do. And they are constantly on the internet, constantly finding out these, you know, people that are doing YouTubes, and maybe they're even in cahoots with different mobs, and they are doing these things because they're idle. And of course, we know that that is the way of the Gentiles. That is the way of the flesh. Apart from the grace and intervention of God in our life, we too could go down that path. But once God saves us, he says there could be a change. And there needs to be that change by putting off and putting on. Now, how do we do this? Well, we need to do this by expressing in our lives the new blessing that we have in Christ. The new blessing that we have in Christ. The walk of the world involves taking, whereas the walk of the Lord involves giving and serving, just like we saw in Jesus this morning. It's that gospel blessing that will help you fit into the garment of your new man even more. If you're more focused on giving, you're not going to take. If you're more focused on being a blessing to someone else, like just like God was a blessing to us in Christ, you're not going to want to steal. ponder the gospel truths, and that's how you put on the new man. Then from verses 29 and 30, we need to learn to put away corrupt communication. That too belongs to that old flesh. And we replace that kind of communication, that old kind, by learning to put on edification. Again, verse 29, that which is good to the use of edifying. How do we do this? Why do we do this? So that we might minister grace unto the hearers. This is another gospel truth that we ought to ponder. We have a new burden in Christ. Our burden is not to tear down, but to build up. Our burden for Christ is to give grace. Since God is gracious to us, we need to give grace to others to build them up and not to tear them down. So as you think about what God has done in Christ for you, that will help you fit into the garment of your new man even more. Putting off the old, putting on the new. One final example, verses 31 and 32. We need to put off all the vices that lead to division. Because there in verse 31, they all belong to the old man. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. But then what do you put on? What do you replace it with? Verse 32, the virtues that lead to unity. Because they belong to the new man. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving. So when you put off the bitterness, wrath, anger, you put on the kindness, tenderheartedness, and forgiveness. But how can we do this? You can when you ponder the gospel truth, which is the new belonging that you have in Christ, the new belonging through His forgiveness. Again, one of my favorite verses, verse 32, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So what does Paul do in these verses? He says, put off and put on. But in order to do that, you ponder the gospel truths that will help you fit more into the garment of Christ's righteousness that you already have surrounding you. And these gospel truths, this gospel belonging even, is what will help you fit into the garment of Christ. So what do we need to keep learning? We need to keep learning not only what you need to discard, but keep learning how to discard those things by pondering the great truths of the gospel. As we end tonight, I want you to think in your own heart, what parts of the old man, what parts of your old flesh that you need to discard? What do you need to put off tonight? And what part of the new man have you been given to replace it? There's all kinds of other examples that we could have used here. Paul just gives us a few, some of which you might say, oh, I need that one. I need to put off that and put on that because of the gospel truth about that. Or maybe there's something else that you're struggling with, some other lust, some other thing that you're dealing with your flesh. I need to put off that, and I need to put on that to replace it by considering the gospel truth about that so that we can fit more tightly into the gospel and the garment of Christ. So as you depend on the Lord tonight, as you dwell with the Spirit, remember to put off, verse 22, concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Let's close in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you again for this word that we needed tonight. A word, Lord, that will help us to have greater progress in victory over our flesh. And Lord, we know that there are still many things that deal with that old man that still hang on. They're still in our closet, the closet of our soul, that, Lord, we need to go through and we need to pick out and we need to discard. And in our discarding, we don't give it to someone else or we don't put it in a box to save it for some other time, but we need to discard it, throw it away, maybe burn it, but get rid of it all altogether. But then, Lord, I thank you that because of the gospel, we have something now to put on. And all of these things, all of these gospel truths are related to the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we're told to put on Jesus Christ, we put on the new man which is created unto righteousness and true holiness. We put on what he has already enrobed us in. And help us, Lord, to remember that it's the gospel truths that enable us both to put off the old and to put on the new, so that we might achieve greater victory over our flesh. Oh, Father, I pray that you will help us to search by your Spirit, through your word, to search through the closet of our soul to see what garment of our flesh right now we need to discard and do so, and then to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to fit more into the garment of his righteousness in which we are already enrobed by your grace. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.